One, two. Hello, church. Y'all look mighty nice sitting out there today. Y'all see this timer behind me? Y'all about ready to sing some music this morning? Praise God. We can get started here in a little bit.
Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
All right. Get up and sing with us this morning, thank God. Is why, cause you're good in your promise. Let's go, guys.
Take you at your word. You said it, I believe it. I've seen how good it works. You started, you're completed. I'll take you at your word.
And the chaos fell in line. I know, cause I've seen it in my life. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I wanna be on it. It's a narrow road and the tide is high, but you're part of the water.
Your word, you said it, I believe it, seen how good it works, you started, you're completed, I'll take you at your word, you said it, I believe it, seen how good it works, you started.
Your love never give up. You said your grace is always enough. You said your heart would never forget or forsake me. You said I'm saved. You call me yours. You said my future's full of your hope. You never fail, so I know that you'll never fail.
You said your love, never give up. You said your grace is always enough. You said your heart will never forget or forsake me. You said I'm saved. You
your word. You said it, I'll believe it. I've seen how good it was. You started, you're completed. I'll take you at your word. You said
stand on the word of God. We can take God at his word. Does anybody believe that this morning? No, does anybody really believe that this morning? That the Lord will never leave nor forsake us? That he will always keep us? Can we just sing that one more time? I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I believe it. See how good it was. You started, you're completed. I'll take you at your word. We take you at your word. Say, I'll
take you at your word.
We take you at your word. Say, I'll
take you at your word.
We said you're completed, God. You said you're completed. I'll
take you at your word.
We'll take you, we'll take you, we'll take you. I'll take you at your word. We'll take you at your word, God. 'Cause we believe in you. You can take the Lord at his word. He's a promise keeper. He will never fail you. He doesn't know how to. And so this morning, we just ask the Lord to open the eyes of our hearts for us to really understand that he can't leave us, for us to really understand that he can't forsake us. So Father, this morning, open our eyes, Jesus. 'Cause we want us. Sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Yeah.
I want to see you. Hey, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Open the eyes,
say. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
We want to see you face to face, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Say, I want to see
you.
In the fullness of your glory.
I want to see you.
We sing, open the eyes of my heart, God.
Open.
Pour out your power. So open the eyes,
yeah.
Until we see your face. God holy. We repeat this word, holy. Holy means that the Lord is set apart, that he is sanctified, that there is no one like him. He is consecrated. He is set apart from us as humans. And so why is that important? Why does that matter, Corey? What does that even mean? That means that because we serve a holy God, that means we also serve a perfect God. That means we serve a God of perfection who cannot make any mistake, meaning that your existence is not a mistake, meaning that the things that you've been through, the things that hurt you, the things that confused you, the things that made you feel like you were not important, made you feel like you were not enough, a holy God, not only did he see it, but he was it with you in it. So why is that important? Why does that matter? Because if a perfect God is for me, he is greater than the world against me. And here's the thing, that's not an opinion. That's not me telling you something that I think. That's me telling you what's in his word, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he is with us even in our fire, even in our pit. So whatever destruction you feel like you're facing this morning, whatever it is that you come dealing with, I don't know, maybe other people may not know, but I want you to remember that we serve a God who is holy. And his holiness makes him perfect. And his perfection means he can't sin against you, meaning he can't cause harm to you. So here's what I would like all over this room. Can we lift our hands? For some of us, I know it might be a little uncomfortable. I know it's not something we're not accustomed to, but we're just honoring a God who is holy, a God who's sovereign, a God who sees us, who even in our mistakes, even in our bad decisions, still chooses us. He still desires to fulfill his purpose through you. And that makes him holy. That makes you holy, Lord. You're holy. We honor your holiness. Holy, holy, you're holy, holy. So open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I need to see you. Yeah. I need to see you. Sing, open the eyes of my heart.
Yeah.
Open the eyes of
my heart.
'Cause I want to see. 'Cause want to see. Sing, open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Oh,
open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see.
Do you want to see the Lord this morning? Come on, let's just give God praise in this moment. Let's give Him glory. We want to see His glory today. Come on, lift up a praise to the King. He deserves all the praise that we can give. He deserves the glory. Would you just begin to tell Him in your own words, even in this holy moment that we're in, would you begin to tell Him, God, I want to see You. Would you open up your mouth and begin to tell Him, begin to speak to Him and say, God, would You move in my home? God, would You move in my family? God, would You move in my job? Whatever that need is, begin to speak to the Lord. Close your eyes, lift your hands, whatever you need to do. But seek Him in this moment and ask Him, God, show me Your glory in my life. I want to see You, Jesus. Come on, let me hear praise all over this room. Let me hear requests all over this room. Open up your mouth and make a sound, because even the act of prayer is an act of faith that releases the hand of God to move in our lives. Father, we want to see You today. Come, Lord Jesus. Church, what a powerful time to be in God's presence and to worship with the saints. Are you glad to be here this morning? And we're glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, we want to welcome you to our church. We'd like to give get to know you, and we invite you to step out into the foyer after the service to the Welcome Center so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad that you're with us wherever you are, all across the world. Thank you for worshiping with us today. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Amen? It is better to give than to receive. And so we want to acknowledge God this morning for all that He has given to us. If you woke up with a roof over your head this morning, if you have clothes to wear, if you have food to eat, God has blessed you. And we all have something that we can give to the Lord. So there are several ways to do that. You can give on our My Church app. You can give on our website. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And you can give by text. Whatever way you choose to give, we believe that God will bless you for it, because that's what He said in His Word. He said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. And so we want to honor the Lord with our substance today. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line. And as the worship team comes back, you can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
How many of us know this morning that we serve a good God? Amen.
Makes me wanna shout. Lord, you are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet and give thanks to God one more time. Come on, makes me want to do what? Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, come on. Hallelujah, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory. Come on, all the honor, all the praise. Come on, sing it again, hallelujah. I like that song. Of triumph. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord today. Hallelujah. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Well, let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today, God, with gratitude in our hearts. We're thankful, Lord. Thankful, God, that you awakened us this day, started us on our journey, Lord. God, you're going to be with us. You're the glory and the lifter of our heads. You're our rear guard, Lord. You're watching over us. You're watching over us every step we take. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we lift up Israel this morning. In the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, this congregation, God, joins together with the body around the world, calling out Israel's name before you today, Lord. Father, move in their behalf. We're thankful for a nation that serves as an ally, God. Would you grant wisdom to those who are in authority, Lord? Would you grant wisdom, God? Would you bring this conflict to a quick close, Lord? In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for protection. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu today, Lord. Father, we lift him up today, Lord, the prime minister. I pray for wisdom. Jesus' name. You said if we bless Israel, you'd bless us, God. We thank you for your promise today that it's yea and amen to them that believe. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that that little tiny spot about the size of New Jersey is a mirror for what happens to the entire world. Lord, we thank you that that's the place that you started it all. You said, let it be, and it was. Lord, we bless you today. In Jesus' name, open our hearts. We sang it, Lord. Let us do it today. Open our hearts, God. Let us receive something, Lord, greater than we ever even anticipated when we walked through these doors. We give this service to you. God, give us an altar service where we can get into your presence and meet you, God, in a powerful and a deep way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, high five your neighbor before you're seated. Come on. Say, you get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you are saying, man, what in the world the pastor got on today? Well, we have a surprise at the end of the service. We have a special occasion at the end of today's service, and I just didn't want to run off the stage and change clothes. So I'm just being honest with you, okay? Look, we're here for honesty today, all right? When I was in Pakistan just 3 weeks ago, I was there, but guess what? My luggage never showed up. You know, thank you, Lord. We're still going to have a trip. So after shopping in about 15 locations, I heard them speaking Urdu, and it was like, you know, I said, what's he saying? He says, man, he's large. I said, I get that, okay? I'm not a Pakistani. This is how we do it in America. Come on, y'all. All right? So they suggested that they make me some clothes. So I got a tailor to just come along. He measured me, and the next morning he knocks on my door, man. I got your clothes ready. How much do I owe you? Nothing. Welcome to Pakistan. Didn't charge me a thing. Amen. Handmade. Come on. Handmade. He also said, he said, I enjoyed making it. He said, it was like making it for two Pakistanis. I said, I got you. I got you. Look, but you're not going to offend me. My luggage is somewhere between here and North Carolina, so you're not going to bother me one bit. At least I got something to wear. Do you do underwear? Can I ask you that? Do you do underwear? Oh, well, guess what? God has a great sense of humor. Sometimes when he wants to use you, he has to break you before he gets you there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just believe God today for speaking to our hearts. Amen. Speaking to our hearts. Today, I want to speak a message to you that I've simply entitled Priorities. Priorities. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now and in kindness say, you need to get some priorities straight. Come on, just tell him. Come on. You need to get some priorities straight. I love this, y'all. I love this. They're getting into this. Come on, tell them one more time. You better get some priorities in your life. Amen. This is going to be a good one. I can tell it already. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to share with you the third message that I've spoken to you since I've returned from the Middle East. And it comes out of my experience traveling that unusual nation of Pakistan. Pakistan's a nation situated in the Middle East. I remember standing right over here probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I was seated where I normally sit, right here on the front row. And a guest evangelist had me to stand up. He said, Pastor Wallace, would you please stand? And I stood up and he prophesied over me. He said, the Lord is going to break your heart for the Middle East. And God's going to place an unusual anointing on your life to minister in that world. And where the anointing comes, the Lord says, protection will follow you. So you don't have to be afraid. Amen. And so God opened that prophetic word up to me very real 3 weeks ago when I was there. The first message I preached to you, I shared with you spiritual victories that I was a part of, primarily in the realm of salvations, healings, deliverances. I saw people who were demon-possessed just set free by the power of God. And spirit baptisms. I think I saw more people filled with the Holy Spirit in one service than I've ever seen in my entire life. Just a powerful, powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Last week in my second message, I offered you a look into the awful experience of modern day slavery. I had a chance to go into slave camps and visit with families, take an up close and personal look in the lives of families who were, some of them had been there. One couple I talked with that we put on the board last week had been there for 46 years. You see, what happens is if your father and your mother didn't pay their debt, guess what? It's translated over to you. And so they were carrying their father's debt plus their own debt. And we made arrangements to help these people get out of slavery. $3 a day, their wages, and never get out. Or spend your entire life there in a brick kiln, fashioning bricks that will be shipped by the approval of their government. And you could tell riding around that nation that they certainly weren't taking the money and using it to improve their infrastructure. Muddy roads, big holes, little pavement, but it was a terrible nation to be able to just explore in some capacities, at least. A beautiful nation in other ways. However, Pastor John and Rachel at Consuming Fire Global Church, right in the heart of Lahore, Pakistan, which is just a couple of hours away from the capital city of Islamabad, have taken on the opportunity to buy families out of slavery with the government's approval. It's got to be the favor of God. Because there's no other way to say it. They free families. And that's a powerful thing. And I'm excited to tell you this morning that last Sunday morning, the four families that we put up on this board, you gave more than enough in your offering to free these people out of slavery. Amen. Hallelujah. So I talked to Pastor John yesterday just briefly, and I said, how long will it be? We send you the money. How long will it be before these families, you're able to go to them and say, hey, you're free? He said, right now we're working on their living quarters. and setting up their small businesses. They'll buy a cart, give them a rickshaw. I know you couldn't probably understand what he was saying last week in the video. Give them a rickshaw. Rickshaw is just a motorcycle with a big body on it. There's two wheels in the back, one wheel in the front, operated by LP gas, just like you run your grill on your deck at home. When they pull up to the tank in that nation, they don't buy gas like you buy. They buy LP gas, petroleum. And so he said it would take about a week for us to be able to go to them with the proper documents and say, we need this family. And we will march them out of there and take them to their new dwelling place. And the very next couple of days, they'll go to work earning money for themselves. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Today, I want to speak to you about one of the priorities that I witnessed in the lives of Pakistanis. You know, every one of us in this room today, we came in here with a different perspective. You know, the father, I like the way Corey said this last week. He said, the father who sits high and looks low is watching us. The Lord was watching you this morning. He watched some of you just, hey, get all in it, worshiping God, raising your hands, opening your heart. He watched the rest of y'all sitting there like you looking for something, I don't know, something major to happen, you know, before you could really acknowledge God's presence, like a bump on a log. But the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? With praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and what? His mercy endures forever. I know a lot of these people sitting here in the front row because 33 years ago, I pastored a church in your community. And if you want to know what I was doing there, I was trying to do this there. Okay? I was trying to do this. I was trying to bring people together. It was at that little church. How many of y'all know where Faison's Old Tavern is? Come on, y'all. It was at that little church that I didn't even know what God was doing. And I had wonderful relationships with Galatia Baptist Church. If you're over there, you say Galatia. Come on, y'all. Yeah, I had wonderful relationships with Galatia Baptist Church, and I had wonderful relationship with Creeksville Baptist Church. And every year we got together for Easter services, and we shared back and forth, and we did some wonderful things together. But little did I know that God was using that little time in Northampton County to break me down and to mold me and to shape me into something that I didn't even sign up for. And I came over here, and God gave me the wisdom to be able to establish a multicultural church, okay? I'm just telling you, it's just the truth. Walmart's multicultural, so is McDonald's. Black people eat hamburgers, so do white folks, okay? And both of them like Happy Meals. Come on, y'all. Okay? And so God used me and my family, my wife and my family here, to move this congregation to be on the same level as Walmart and McDonald's. This is where you're going to get your Happy Meal today. All right? It's not going to disappoint you. There's going to be a prize in there at the end of the service. You're going to have a chance to come to the altar and just receive a blessing from God. Amen? Give the Lord praise, y'all. Come on. So really, really, this is beautiful today. They're here for a reason. You'll discover at the end of the service why they're here. But it was really beautiful what God was doing with me, and I didn't even know it. He was molding my life, shaping my life for here. You see, listen, friends, let me just tell you something. Those of you that are here this morning watching me, those of you watching online, you never know what God is, here we go, doing. What he's doing right now, you may not ever see or understand until 10, 20, 30 years down the road. God's doing some things, okay? Because right now, some of us don't think God's doing anything, you know? We're just getting by. We're paying the bills. Go back to work. Go to work tomorrow. You know the reason why you're going to work tomorrow? Is because you enslaved yourself with all that stuff you got to pay for. Strike one. Some of y'all just hit me right then. I don't like this guy. Hey, get over it, okay? You've signed up for so much stuff that you're working, your wife's working, you got your kids working. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all are just, you know, moving money back and forth, just trying to get that four-wheeler paid for, okay? And then we're going to get us a boat. Come on, y'all. Come on, I'm just telling you. That's what we do in America. We live from paycheck to paycheck in many circumstances. And guess what? You did it to yourself, okay? You did it to yourself. You became a slave to the lender. Good time to get a sip of water. Come on, y'all. We need to make some priorities in our life. What I noticed in Pakistan was priority. I'm talking about a nation that has 2%. 2%. That means out of every 100 people, 2 were Christians. 98 were Muslims, like pulled the triggers yesterday, okay? 98% of them were that kind of people, okay? And so 2%, it must be challenging, man, to walk out your faith in a land where, you know, it's not normal, not commonplace. Here we got a church on every corner, okay? If I told you how many churches were in Ahoskie, some of you would declare me a liar. No way! No, there is a way. Because some people rather be a big fish in a small pond. I'm going to get hit today. I realize that. Some people rather be a big fish in a small pond than to link up with where God's doing something. Okay? I've seen churches in this community that have hand-painted signs and they didn't even write the name of the church straight. It's going uphill or downhill. They did it with a paintbrush. I don't want to meet the pastor. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. But you have to understand that God is doing something, and he wants you, and he wants me, and he wants all of us to come to a situation where he is priority in our lives. Can you give the Lord praise today? He's priority. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6, verse 33, one of my favorite verses. He says, but seek ye, help me here, first, before anything else. That's why when you get paid, before you do anything else, you pay your tithe. That's 10%. If you need help, call me, text me, I'll tell you what 10% is. 10% of your money goes in that bucket right there. Okay? Well, I don't know, man. We got a lot of bills. I've had people tell me, God wants me to take care of that house payment first. Man, you signed up for the wrong plan. Because God could snuff that house off your property with his finger. Okay? I'd rather have God's blessing on my life. He says, bring the tithe to the storehouse. What is the tithe? It's a tenth portion, that there may be meat in my house. And he says, see if I won't do this. Throw open, not casually. Well, let me lift the glasses here. No. Throw open. He says, see if I won't throw open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that you wouldn't even have room enough to contain it. Amen. I gave away more money this past week than a lot of people make. Okay, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying it's principle, y'all. I gave away more money this past week than a lot of people get in their salary. Because God's blessed me to do what? Be a blessing. Come on, y'all. Help me here. God's blessed me to be a blessing. God's blessed you to be a blessing. So don't do it by the math. Do it by the principle. God's principle. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will I cause men to pour into your bosom. Listen, God's plans work. And what he has to have, though, is first place. First place. He says, seek me what? First, the kingdom of God. I highlighted that phrase because it means something. The kingdom of God is a term here in the Greek language. It simply means the domain of God, the rulership of God. I'm just studying the Bible out loud, y'all. Just let me do that for a second. It's the domain of God, the rulership of God. In other words, your life and my life should be under, somebody say under his authority. Okay? He's the one. We receive him as Savior because we don't want to go to hell. But we rise up and we also receive him as what? Lord, because he's a better ruler of your life than you'll ever be. So he rules my life. He decides where my money goes. He decides where I work. He decides what I do and what I don't do. He decides the places that I frequent and the places that I say, no, I ain't going in there. Why? Because he's Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rulership. And then he says, and if you do this, all these things shall be added unto you as well. What are these things? That's what I want to know. Well, just read the context. go back up to verse number 1, and they're contemplating, hey man, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? You know, how are we going to survive here? And he tells us, listen, you don't have to worry about clothes. Listen, I flew on the other side of the world. When I landed, I didn't have no clothes. God said, hey, I got you, bud. Okay, I'll let a guy walk up to you and hand tailor you some clothes, and you won't even pay for them. That's how much God cares. Okay, he says, all these things shall be added unto you as well. That's the context of life. It's basic needs: food, clothing, shelter. You and I should make him priority. And the conclusion of that is life will go well for us. The amazing thing is that I witnessed in Pakistan is this. It's not a Christ-centered country. It's not founded on godly principles or godly values. Pakistan is a nation rooted and grounded in the Muslim faith. 98% are Muslim. They're listening to us this morning. They're watching us. The people in this nation are watching. They're listening to us tell them about the gospel, the good news, the evangelion. The Greek says it's the good news to mankind that God has a plan on an old rugged cross, that he bled and died and gave his life for you, that you might have life and that more abundantly. Can you say amen to that this morning? God gives abundant life. I don't know about you, but I want to live the abundant life, and I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to live it. I want to live the abundant life now, where I've got not just enough, but more than enough. Why? Because he's El Shaddai. He's the God who has more than enough, and he sheds forth and he pours forth like a mother with her breast milk. He sheds forth everything I need, more than enough, so I can give some of it away. Amen? God is a good God. This nation is unusual, but I saw there a posture upon believers. These are pictures that I took myself. I snapped the picture of this lady right here. I was on the front row there getting ready to preach, and I looked across the congregation, and I see these people in worship, worshiping God, broken in spirit, tears running down their faces, holding up the Bible. Listen, this was at the crusade that I preached at. 40,000 people. Folks were lifting their hands up high, so glad to be there. Can I tell you something? 3 miles and further, they could ride a bus. If you lived at least 3 miles away from the crusade site, you walked. The majority of the people that sat there, 40,000 people on the ground, walked to church. The only thing outside of that facility, that place on the ground where we did the crusade, was a bunch of buses. No personal cars. They walked. When I'm in this church where the man is holding up the Bible in the middle, 2,000 people there, smallest church I preached at, 2,000 people. No air conditioning. Sitting on the floor, packed like sardines. No air conditioning. Hot. You could sweat enough to baptize a Methodist in there. It was hot, man. And I preached my soul out. And the service was over, I thought. No. By the time we stepped off the platform down onto the floor, people came running to the altar. Running to the altar. Had to have a battery of ushers to keep them from knocking us down. Just wanted prayer. Prayer for what? My heart. Prayer for my blood. Prayer for my diabetes. Prayer for everything you could think of. And God was moving supernaturally and touching people. So hungry. So filled with spiritual. Here we go. Priority. Come on, punch your neighbor one more time and say priority. My question for you this morning is this. What's your priority? Well, I like to fish. Well, so do I. But I ain't going fishing today. Well, I like to hunt. I'm already making arrangements to get my blinds reserved in Hyde County for the December. Just talked to my son about it yesterday. We're going down there. We're going to kill some ducks, y'all. Quack, quack, quack. Because I like to hunt, but not on Sunday. Okay? And, you know, we got to be careful that we make sure that we are living in a posture where he is priority. Why? Because he said, seek me when? First. Not when you get in a jam. Not when you get all jammed up with life's struggles and circumstances and you don't know where else to turn, so you're going to call on Jesus. I see it all the time. People crying out to God last. not first. Y'all can help me here anytime. Somebody can say amen. Come on. It's just the truth. People rush to that altar to be prayed for. Why? Because it's priority. And then people ask this question. Well, I wonder why you see so many healings over there and you don't see a whole lot over here. Because we're rich and increased with goods and don't have need of anything. We work it out ourselves. We go to the doctor. Some of y'all are taking 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 prescriptions. You got them in your bathroom on the counter. But over there, they can't do that. They call on Jesus, the one who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, they believe, we're healed. Okay? We have more medications today in this United States of America going out for anxiety than you could ever imagine. What do you take this for? Well, I got this, and well, I got this little issue going on. I sat in my office one day, and I was talking to a person locally here in Ahoskie, and I said, "So, are you on medication for this?" She said, "Yes." I said, "What are you on?" And she told me the name of it, and I wrote it down. And then she gave me another one, and this is the truth. This is the truth. Before it was over with, she listed for me 9 anxiety medications that she was on. Can I just tell you something? That's not God's will. That's not God's will. I'm not a doctor, but that don't make no sense. I said, "Why are you on 9? Well, I went to this doctor for a while, and he put me on this, and it just didn't do anything, so I went to another doctor. But you keep taking this, and now you added something else to it." Okay? If you want to do an interesting study sometime, look up the word pharmacy and relate it back to the scriptures, and you decide for yourself, okay? All right. Pharmacon. "Well, Pastor, you don't believe in medicine?" I didn't say that. Paul took a man on the missionary journeys with him by the name of who? Luke. What was Luke? A doctor. Thank you. So I believe in the doctor, but I'm just telling you, we work out our things, and we call on Jesus last, and he said, "Call on me first." Okay? "Pastor, you just don't understand, man. My finances are whacked." No wonder. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've bought. "Well, I got a job at Nucor and they're paying good money." Well, what if they go out of business? Okay? What if they fold up and you don't have any more money? Are you prepared to live? If you lost your job tomorrow and you didn't get a paycheck for 6 months, can you still make your mortgage payments? I'm just asking you a question, that's all. Seek him when?
First.
Man, this is such easy preaching. It's just easy preaching. Seek me first. And you know, I tell people all the time, I watch people. I see empty seats. I see people that I hadn't seen in a while. And I'll bump into somebody and say, "Hey, man, we missed you, dude. We missed you at church. We've been missing you in worship." Only to have them come back and tell me, "Bro, I'm so tired. I'm so tired." I've even had folks tell me this. I'm the pastor now, and they'll tell me this, "Rico, well, you know, bro, Sunday's my only day." Okay. Your only day for what? "Well, I work most of the time 6 days." Okay. You working, your wife's working, y'all just work. Are you following God's plan, or are you following your plan? Have you put him first, or you factor him in when the crisis comes? Hebrews chapter 10, the whole thing comes down to this. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. "Let us hold," look at this, "unswervingly to the hope we profess." You say you're a Christian? Hold to the hope that you profess. "For he who promised," come on, y'all, "is," Corey said it this morning so well, "faithful." Okay? "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let me see how holy you are." You cannot fail. You will not fail. That is your holiness. "And let us consider," verse 24, "how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Verse 25, "not giving up meeting together." This is Sunday worship. "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." This was a first century problem too. but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day. Look at the capital D, the day. What is that day? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. My question is, are you going to meet him? Are you going to rise from the earth because of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you going to be left behind because you didn't put him, come on, y'all, you didn't put him first? Well, I shook the preacher's hand when I was 12. Well, bless your heart. You done God a real favor, didn't you? But has it changed your life? Has it totally jacked your life? I'm just asking questions here. Because you know what? I come fresh out of the mission field, and I've seen with my own eyes what priorities are in the lives of people who don't even really, it don't even look like it's possible to be on fire for God in that environment. Nasty, dirty streets, little pavement, mud holes. Went by, look, go by the food market. You know what it is? It's chickens in a cage. You want one? Buy one. Kill it yourself. If you did see prepared meats, they were not in the back of the store in a beautiful little cabinet with nice LED lights shining on them saying, 93% beef, 88% beef. If you did see meats prepared, they were laying on a table, flies flying all around them, no refrigeration. That's what I saw. I've seen it before. I did in India 3 weeks. Fish market. Fish laid up there, no ice. Might have caught them yesterday. That's why they spice the food so much in India. They got to do something to kill them germs. Are y'all hearing me? Somebody say priority. We need to get him first. We need to make sure we get him first in our relationship with him, in our relationship with our wife and our kids, our husband and our kids, whatever situation you fall in there. Get him first in your life, in your home, in your business. Put him first, and everything else will take care of itself. I love the way the NLT, New Living Translation, renders this verse in Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love, to acts of good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. He tells us as closer and closer we get. What does it take? You see an explosion? Wake up yesterday morning. You see an explosion in that little dot the size of the state of New Jersey that is a mirror for the whole world, that is a living example of this B-I-B-L-E coming true in front of our eyes every day. There's coming a day when the war will not end. It won't. And guess what has to happen here in the next few days? I talked to a gentleman in Israel yesterday because I got a trip coming up November 6th. Well, I know you're not going now. Yes, I am, unless they tell me I can't. I'm going. Do you think they want to cancel the trip? No. That's a whole lot of jobs, a whole lot of security, a whole lot of income, a whole lot of revenue when hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people travel there every day to make a pilgrimage to the land where Jesus walked. Hotels, taxi cab drivers, bus drivers, guides, hotel staff and personnel. They don't want people not to come, but there may come an announcement, you can't go. This will be my 15th journey. I've only been canceled once. And it was because of chaos. Something powerful has to happen here in the next week or 10 days. Israel has to get a control of this thing. And Hamas, and last night, understand, Hezbollah raised their arms and said, we're in too. Okay, so that's another sect of Muslim faith. And so Israel has to get control here and release such a message of dominance and control that these people say, oh, we better back off here. These guys mean business. Okay? or in the coming week or so, it will escalate and get out of control. And we'll just be reading sooner fulfillment of the Word of God. You know, I'm glad the president said last night, we're with you. Then why'd you give $6 billion to Iran last year to free some prisoners if you're with them? Because guess who's behind yesterday's attack? Iran. Somebody needs to run. Run to Jesus. Okay? Why did we give them $6 billion? You know what they did with that $6 billion? Built up military capability and used it on them yesterday. And the blood of those people's lives are on the hands of Americans in the White House. Well, I don't like this kind of preaching. Well, you're free to exit anytime you like. It's just the truth. You can say we're your friend, but do you behave like we're your friend? Okay? I'm just telling you, America's not without fault here. I hope we do get it right. I hope we do get it right. We need to understand that there's so much going on in this world. That's why, friends, it would behoove us to make sure that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to get it straight. As for me and my house, we're going to hold tightly without wavering to the hope that I affirm that God can be trusted, that He's going to keep His promises to me. And I think of ways to encourage and motivate other people. Hey, why don't you come to my church? I passed a guy this morning on the way to church and I recognized who it was and I texted him right quick. Hey, where are you going so fast? He said, church. I said, you're going the wrong way, man. Carpenter shop's in a Husky. So I kept him on the line there for a second, just texting back and forth. He said, yeah, I'm going over here this morning. He said, but I'm coming to your church one of these days. I said, be careful, bud. One trip there and you ain't going nowhere else. Okay? Just messing with him. Just trying to pull on his string a little bit. Because I've been watching him. He's going here, there, and everywhere. Okay? Find out where you're fed and keep eating. Okay? Find out where the food is good and keep. Listen, if the restaurant is good, you're going to go back. Okay? You're going to go back and you're going to eat some more. And what we need to do today is eat more and more and more of the Word of God and get to church as often as we can. My question is, where are some of y'all on Wednesday night? We have Bible study at 7 o'clock every week. Some of y'all have never tried it. Quiet as a mouse in here this morning. I'm just telling you the truth. Some of y'all wouldn't know Bible study if it whacked you in the face. Well, I've been busy, you know. I got stuff to do. Who don't? Who don't have stuff to do? Get connected. Sharpen your tools in the faith. Get connected with other people. Look at what he says here. And let us not neglect our meeting together. In verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another. Hey, what you doing? You going to Bible study Wednesday night? I don't know. Oh, come on, man. Meet me there. Encourage one another. Pastor, you just on a soapbox this morning. No, I just went across the world on a plane and I saw what it's like to live with priority of Jesus Christ in your life. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you what it looks like. Amen. People in Pakistan sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ in a culture that waves the banner of everything but Jesus. So they found something that brought peace to their hearts. And they're working it to the best of their ability. Jesus is the one who judges the church. You know, we can't judge the church. I can't judge you. You can't judge me. But Jesus has the authority to judge, and judge the church he did. The book of Revelation is filled with it. Revelation chapter 2. He has the right to do this because it was his life, death, burial, resurrection that founded what we call the church, the ecclesia. The called out ones, those who've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. So he talks to the angel of the church, which is translated what? Pastor. Now you can say this, my pastor's an angel. Whatever. He talks to the angel of the church In Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he's talking to a literal church in Ephesus. And this is what he says. Yet I hold this against you. He said some good things, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how you have fallen, how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to remove your lampstand from its place. I'm going to cut your lights out, okay? You got to understand something. Jesus has the authority to judge the church. And the question for you here, a good time to ask it, is are you more in love with Jesus than you've ever been in your life? Or have you slowly drifted away and you just kind of, you believe, you know, I believe in Jesus. You still say the blessing on your food at Bojangles when they open back up finally. But you're not really knocking it out for the things of God. You're not sharing your faith. You're not going to Bible study. You're not doing anything extra. You just want to make sure you ain't going to hell. This is the quietest Presbyterian church I've been in a while. Jesus is the one who makes the assessment. He not only assesses Ephesus, he assessed all of them. Laodicea is one of my favorites because it mirrors the church today. I said Laodicea is one of my favorites because it mirrors the church that I see today. Revelation 3:15-17. I know your deeds, Jesus says, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The translation there is puke, vomit. You make me want to vomit, he said. I gave my life for you, and this is how you make me feel. You say I'm rich and I've acquired wealth. I really don't need anything, but you don't realize that as I look at you, Jesus says, I see you spiritually. You're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. The reality is this, my friends. When you're given a front row seat into another country and you see the tenacity, the boldness, the strength, the determination that a Christ follower has in another nation, I'd be an idiot not to stand here today and tell you what I've just told you the last 30 minutes. We need to get our priorities right. I said we need to get our priorities right. Okay? We ought to be concerned about whether our neighbor's going to hell or not. Okay? Whether our family's going. Some of us don't even have concern about our family. Tony Campolo is a Baptist preacher. I'm going to use a Baptist as an example this morning. Tony Campolo, Baptist preacher, was preaching to 25,000 people in an open football field. 25,000 people sitting there listening. He's preaching about eternity. And he said, Tony Campolo said this. He said, some of your own family members are going to hell in a handbasket and you don't give a. And he used the D word. On 25,000 people. Some of your family members going to hell in a handbasket and you don't give a D. Oh, you heard the congregation. He let about 15 seconds pass. He stepped back up to the microphone. He said, yep, some of y'all are more concerned about me using the D word than you are about your family going to hell. He gave an altar call. Thousands repented and came to Jesus. There's some repentance that needs to take place in this room today. Okay? You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because I know people. Because I'm a people. And I know that times in my life that I've soft-pedaled the gospel. I know times in my... But you're a pastor. I said, I know times in my life when I've soft-pedaled the gospel. When I just did enough to get by. I know times in my life where I compromised and made the wrong decision. We call that sin, okay? And I'm guilty. So I know people. And I know some of you don't have a peace, a deep settled peace in your heart today, that you are sold out
make Jesus, here we go, priority. Seek when? First, the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. The church needs revival. We need faith in God to be priority. Faith in God needs to be tops. That's what the word priority means, tops. Tops in the idea of importance. It needs to be above all the other things in my life. That's what priority is. I like what Jesus says to the Laodicean church. Last part of that, chapter 3, verses 19 to 22. Those whom I love, I rebuke. Okay. Check this out. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest. Be earnest in what? Repent. Repent is a change of mind. I was going this way. Now I have changed my mind. I'm going the other way. Okay? I'm not doing this anymore. How many of y'all said that? I'm not. Man, I did that with cigarettes. I did that with alcohol. I've been on bars in Raleigh, Hillsborough Street. I come out of there, man, last beer in my hand. I don't want any more of this. All it takes is tomorrow. Hey, Buzz. That's what they call me in college, Buzz. Because I kept one. Okay. What you doing? Studying for a test, man. They got 10-cent draft down at Edwards Grocery. What kind is it? Stroh's. At least it's beer. That's the attitude I took. And beer got a hold of me. And beer ran my life for a number of years. But I remember walking out of those places and throwing it down and saying, I'm done! I remember taking cigarettes and taking the pack. Do you know a pack of cigarettes is hard to fold and bend when they're full? Smoking no more. Where did I throw those cigarettes at? And I went and got them and straightened them out and smoked what I could. I'm not at all trying to insinuate that cigarettes and alcohol will be your ticket to hell. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what sends you to hell. What sends you to hell is a continual rejection. Hear me, friends. Hear me across the world. A continual rejection of salvation of Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. That's what sends you to hell. Okay? I will tell you this. Smoking gives you cancer. I was in Turkey. One of my places of landing on the trip. I was in Turkey. It was funny. I was so funny. I took a picture of it. I should share it with you this morning, but I don't have it available. I was in Turkey and I was in the airport, and they had a smoke shop there. And I recognized because of the colors. I saw red and white, and I saw this crazy word. I said, oh, that's Marlboro. Okay. I saw green and that's Salem right there. I recognized the packs, but I couldn't read the language. But then in bold English, they had a big sign printed across all of the cigarette section. These items will cause you to have cancer. Okay? I thought, wow. And they had it beneath in the Turkish language. These items will cause you to have cancer. Okay, that's awesome. Giving a warning. Okay? So no, it's not cigarettes that sends you to hell. And neither is it alcohol, and neither is it cussing your mother-in-law out. Okay? Though I know you have sometimes. But you let your mother-in-law get killed in a car accident like mine did, and you will wish you never said a harm word to her. You'll only miss heaven because you haven't given Christ the place that He deserves, and that is to be the Savior of your life. And the Lord of your life. Could I have my ministry team here, all you pastors? And I preach here, they do the work, okay? So they're going to pray for you. All these pastors, come. Stretch out here, because I'm going to bring you some people here in just a second, and they're going to want prayer. Some of you want prayer because you say, Pastor Wallace, I heard you loud and clear today, and I need to make a rededication of my faith in Christ. Okay. Some of you are going to come because you say, hey, man, I heard y'all were into healing, and I was just given a diagnosis by the doctor, and he says, I've got cancer. That's a bad word, isn't it, Shirley? Okay. Some of you are going to come because you say, hey, man, my family life's jacked up. Some of you are going to come and say, hey, you know what? I heard preacher talking about finances this morning. Dude, mine are a mess, and I need God to help me. This altar is open. Would you please stand to your feet and just come on down? If somebody's in line, just get behind them. We'll get to you. Okay? Come on out of your seat, because I know the Holy Spirit is touching some of your hearts, some of your lives. You can do better. You can make him, come on, y'all, priority. Come on, sing it, guys. Make him priority. Come on, step out of your seat. Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Come on, we're here to make a difference in your life. We're here to make a change. We're going to help you make a change today. We're going to help you take a step toward better. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah.
I saw the feet, but I chose the dirt to lay my head. I was a captive to what the accuser said. Away.
to my champion, my rescue. Glory to the Lord on high. There is no one like you. And hear my song of praise will rise to my champion, my rescue. Glory to the Lord.
Pastor, what are you talking about? There's some of you that wanted to come, but you just didn't make that step, okay? Don't let the enemy beat you up, okay? You're making it in your heart right where you are right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Have you say, Pastor, you're right. Come on. I'm making decisions right here where I'm standing. That's right. I want her to pray a prayer over you that will be a source of strength for you, okay? You need to be in the house of the Lord. You need to be reading His Word. You need to be connecting with people who are Christians, okay? To spur one another on. That's what the Bible says, okay? Make sure that you check your friend list, okay? Some of your friends, you need to do like I did. Delete them, okay? Just unfriend them, okay? You don't need to hear what they have to say. You have that right. That's a Facebook principle, okay? Some of you need to make some priorities changes in your life. So Pastor Joy is going to pray a pastoral prayer over us. We're going to transition. Today we're having a wedding, y'all. Okay? All right? So if you find that you can't stay or you need to slip on out the door, we're going to marry Holly on the worship team and Ashley Taylor, okay? My weddings are shorter than my sermons, I promise you. It's going to be just a few minutes, and we're going to unite them together in Christian faith and holy matrimony. It's going to be a wonderful time. So if you need to slip out, we get it. We understand. But if not, be seated in just a moment and celebrate with them. And we're going to get them together and tie a knot real tight in about 20 minutes, okay? Pastor Joy, would you lead us in a pastoral prayer and believe God's best for His people?
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for today's sermon that pierced our hearts, that's going to be on our minds this week and the weeks to come, and Lord, that's going to make us choose. And Lord, you're a gentle God that does give us that choice. You don't make us. You allow us to choose in our own timing. But Father, we know that our timing is short. And we have a lot of living that we want to do. But Father, we want to live for you. Today's message has stirred us to realize that we've been slack. We've been sitting down on a job that we should have been working toward. Father, we realize, Lord, that we haven't been praying for or ministering to our families. We haven't even been leading our families toward you, and that hurts our hearts today. So today, Father, we ask, Lord, that you bless us, that you allow us to make that change, that you would bless us in the days ahead. Give us love for other people. Give us opportunities to show our love for our families and to encourage them to seek you first. And Father, we pray, Lord, today, as everyone here has heard the message, has been stirred, has been challenged, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you do love us. You care about us, and you draw us to you. So, Father, today, those feelings that we have on the inside, Lord, that's from you drawing us to come closer to you. So we take this opportunity today, Lord, to thank you for being the Lord that gives his child, Jesus, to die on the cross, to save us from our sins, heal us from our infirmities, and Lord, to break chains of bondage. Lord, we thank you that you are enough for us. You're enough to help us through the changes that need to take place. You're enough that loves us, cares about us, and draws us softly. So today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us. We bless the people, Lord, today that have made those decisions. We bless the people, Lord, that have sat there and said, you know what, today's my day. Today's my day for change. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bethany. Well, you can be seated in his presence. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Today we gather to celebrate the union of Holly Knowles and Ashley Taylor. I invite you to join me in prayer for this special occasion. Our Father, today our hearts look to you because you alone are the source of our lives. You raise us up. You nurture us. You teach us. You guide us. We leave the comforts of our homes and we set our hearts, Lord, on the course of spending our lives together with that special someone that you ordained for us. Today we join with Holly and with Ashley, and we celebrate together their intentions of starting a new journey united as one. We petition you for your blessing as they commit themselves to you and to each other. May your grace be extended to them in every way. And may we who witness this marriage today be reminded of not only their sacred covenant, but our own covenant that we made. This we pray in the name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. Amen. Holly and Ashley, the ceremony of marriage in which you come to be united is one of the first and the oldest ceremonies in the world. It was created by God, who reminded us it's not good that man should be alone. So he created a helpmate for him, and the two, the Bible says, became one flesh. In the New Testament, Jesus showed his blessing upon marriage by showing up at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Jesus also said these words. He said, a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So marriage really is a joining of hands. It is the blending of two hearts, and it is the union of two lives that literally become one. And so your marriage must stand not by the authority of the state of North Carolina, by the seal of a wedding certificate, but the strength and the power of the faith and the love that you have one for another, and the trust that you place in God to help you as you begin your new life together. Today, Holly and Ashley, your hearts and your spirits will be intertwined as one. You're adding to your life not only affection that you have for one another, but also companionship as well as a deep trust. Today, you're agreeing to share. You share your strengths. You share your weaknesses. You share your responsibilities. You share your resources. And you share your unconditional love. Love is really about cultivating flexibility, patience, understanding, and it really requires even a sense of humor. Love is having the capacity to say, I'm so sorry, or better yet, would you please forgive me? Love is not only marrying the right partner, but love is also being the right partner. So who is it that gives this woman to be married to this man? Holly and Ashley, as you face each other, you prepare to share your wedding vows. Ashley, would you please speak these words to Holly? You may join hands. I, Ashley, take you, Holly, to be my wife. And I do promise this day, before God and these witnesses, to be your loving husband, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. Holly, would you likewise speak these words to Ashley? I, Holly, take you, Ashley, to be my husband. And I do promise this day, before God and these witnesses, to be your loving wife, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. We read in the Bible that when God made a covenant with Noah, he put a rainbow in the sky. We see it every time we see it. We remember his covenant with us. The earth had faced destruction by a flood, and Noah and his family were gracefully selected by God, and they were spared. God placed a rainbow in the sky to symbolize for us this everlasting covenant that he made, that he would no longer ever destroy the earth by water. And so you and I look at it, and we're reminded of that covenant. So it's fitting for us when we enter into a solemn agreement such as this to offer some reminder of a regular basis, a daily basis of the covenant that we make. My question for you is, what do you have today as a reminder of your covenant? Holly and Ashley, you have selected the tradition and weddings of rings to be exchanged as a reminder today of the promise to God and the promise to each other. Ashley, would you take Holly's ring and would you slowly place it upon her finger and repeat these words? I give you this ring, as a constant reminder of the promise that I make to you on this day. I pledge my love and my faithfulness this day and forever. Holly, would you likewise take Ashley's ring, place it upon his finger, and repeat these words? I give you this ring as a constant reminder of the promise that I make to you on this day. I pledge my love and my faithfulness this day and forever. As you guys wear these rings, whether you're together or apart, may they serve as a reminder of the covenant that you make today before God and your family and friends. And I invite you to express your trust in the Lord by the braiding of the cords. I'm going to put this in the middle of you. And I want to share that the gold cord represents the groom. You didn't know you were gold, did you? Uh-huh. It represents gold. It represents Ashley's commitment to love Holly unconditionally, purely, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Then there's a white cord that represents the bride, represents Holly. This represents the purity of the bride who commits to submit herself first to God and then to her husband, and honoring God by doing this. The third cord is probably the most important one. It's purple. It's a symbol of royalty and a symbol of kingship, that the relationship and the covenant that you enter into today is dependent upon God's leadership, his rulership, his guidance as you move forward in your new life together. Ecclesiastes says this, 4:12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. But a cord of three strands is not easily broken. I would invite you to now take time to braid these cords together as we enjoy a selection of music.
I've been walking hardy. I may have missed me. The person that I've been lately ain't who I want to be. Stay here. Thank you.
you couldn't see what I saw, but I watched them braid this together, and there were moments when one was helping the other along, like, hey, cross this here, cross this here. And it was give and take, okay, which is a great symbol. And the beauty of it is Christ in the middle. Amen. So, Ashley and Holly, you've shown your love and your affection today by the sharing of your vows, by the giving and the receiving of rings, and by the symbolism of the braiding of the cords. You shall no longer walk alone. You came here today to worship as two individuals. Today, you leave as one. From this day forward, Holly and Ashley, I speak the peace of God, the love of the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon your relationship with each other. And by the power invested in me as a minister of the gospel in the great state of North Carolina, here we go. I now pronounce you are husband and wife. You may kiss the bride. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you for the very first time, Mr. and Mrs. Ashley Taylor. Give honor to God for a great worship service today and a beautiful wedding. Amen. Praise the Lord. If any of you are thinking about getting married soon, just see me, okay? I'm available, all right? God bless you all. Hey, there's a fellowship afterwards here in the Family Life Center. All you do is go all the way to the very back till you can't go no more. Make sure you grab a restroom before you head back that way. And we'll see you in the fellowship hall shortly. Everyone's invited. God bless you.